King James Version of our Bible declares, that God has given you a great thing called the order of context. Content, rather. Y'all be flipping around like y'all super saved in the way every book is. Somebody in Revelation right now. No, come on back to the... Just use your glossary. Then there's the king made a decree. A search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Achamitha in the palace, that is, in the province of the Medes, a roll. And therein was a record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus, the king, the same Cyrus the king, made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. Let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, and the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits. But 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of gold, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is in Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again, somebody say again, unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. My Lord Jesus. Preach this Sunday morning about built on a strong foundation. Built on a strong foundation. We left you last year around this same time as our season began in Ezra chapter 5. Our seniors at that time, Darius Thornwell, who's now playing with the Los Angeles Clippers, P.J. Dozier, who's now playing with the Dallas Mavericks. Well, he wasn't a senior, but he is now. Dwayne Notice was playing overseas, and Justin Mackey, our other senior, who's now working with our team as a graduate assistant, they use as a theme and for our last year's team, Unfinished Business. And they took that as their mantra, that we as a team last year had some business to complete, since out of their 4 years, they had not yet been to the NCAA tournament. And in Ezra chapter 5, you will notice that verse 16, in Ezra chapter 5, verse 16, that a decree was given to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But as of that date, that temple had not yet been built, that there was still business for the children of Israel to have completed. That a decree was given while Cyrus was yet king of Judah and king of rather Babylon. He allowed the children of Israel to go back to Judah. And he also gave them again a decree, being conqueror and being king of the entire province, that they were allowed to build the temple. Nebuchadnezzar, when he took over Judah, destroyed Solomon's temple. And destroying Solomon's temple, in some regards, could have destroyed their faith. Solomon's temple was the symbol of God's presence physically and spiritually in the lives of the children of Israel. Beginning with Moses, when he brought the Ten Commandments out of Mount Sinai, the Word of God was carried in something called an Ark of the Covenant. Those two twin tablets were carried in the center of the Ark of the Covenant. And every time the children of Israel moved from place to place and town to town and city to city and capital to capital, they would build a temporary dwelling place, literally a tent, to house the Ark of the Covenant, which was really God's place. And so until Solomon built the temple, there was no permanent structure to keep the Ark of the Covenant and to keep God's word. At that point, there was no Bible, there was no Old Testament, there was no New Testament. Everything that they had that was written down supposedly by God, was on these Ten Commandments. And so Solomon's temple, therefore, was the place where God finally got to reside and where people could literally and physically go to see God. And so destroying it, in many regards, could have, and for many, destroyed their faith. When they got to Babylon, you know the story goes, they had to learn how to sing a new song in a strange land. And for many of them, it was very difficult to learn how to sing new songs in a strange land because Babylon had no temples. Babylon had no structures that looked like church, that looked like a sanctuary, that had columns and pews and stained glass and choir pits and lofts. They could not understand how to figure out how to sing a new song and praise God without structures that look like a symbol God. But many times you get your best praise and worship on in structures that ain't the church. Sometimes your best praise might just be in your closet, especially if you find a 20 in a purse you ain't used in years. Can I get a witness? And so after the children of Israel returned to Judah, the first item of business was to restore and to rebuild the temple. The edict was given, but there was a new king by the name of Darius. I don't know who told Darius. I don't know how the report got to Darius, but it had to be proven unto Darius that Cyrus, one of his predecessors, gave the children of Israel permission to rebuild the temple. And the text suggests us that the first thing that Darius does was to search the archives of the treasury to see if he could find the edict that Cyrus had given the children. He did not take what they told him on face value, but he went to the archives of Babylon, to the Library of Congress, or to wherever stuff was kept, to the treasuries, to see if he could find the roll upon which Cyrus had given the children permission to rebuild the temple. He just did not believe because they said they could do it, that they could. He had to see it in writing. And that's a whole lot of people today in this age. If you don't see it, you ain't gonna believe it. But in this land of social media, in this land of fake news, you better second guess and second check everything you see right now. I think it's working. Because anybody can put anything on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter, in your email, and you just go believing it. And when you just go believing stuff, you see what we get. And so the first thing he does was he goes back and checks the archives to see if this thing was true. Says, go back, look back, and see where God has stepped in right on time. And after looking through the archives, after looking back through the history, even though this guy had been king a couple of years before him, a couple of generations before him, he finds the roll, and he finds the edict, and he finds where another king had given the children of Israel permission to rebuild their temple. And every now and then again, you've got to go back in your faith file. You've got to go back in your museum of your memories. And you've got to go back and remind yourself how far you've come. And you've got to go back and remind yourself that there were some promises God gave to you years and years and years ago. And those promises are still yea and amen. Whether if God has promised you something, it will come to pass. And you just got to remind yourself what God has already told you and be prepared when it comes to pass. And say, sometimes in life, God ain't going to give you what's called footnotes along life's journey. All right? Footnotes. When you write a paper, you have to write a footnote. You have to go down and tell them where the source came from. I I never forget when I was in my master's program at USC, one of my master professors told me I needed to drop out. True story. And go to seminary. He was halfway right. And that's what he told me. He said, you need to drop out. This is not where you need to be. You need to go to seminary. He said, because you just say stuff that you believe, but you don't have no footnotes. I said, all my stuff got God notes on them. I said, when you talk about religious stuff, when you talk about church history and black churches, I can't put a footnote on how God decided this church was going to be here and that church was going to be there. That's what God decided to do. I can't put a footnote on God. Wish I had a witness up in here. Every now and then, you just know that you know that you know who did it for you. You don't have to have... You just know that God did it. Ain't nobody can start there in a book. Ain't nobody can put it in the intro. Ain't nobody can put it on the screen. Ain't nobody can show your own favorite. You just know God did it. And it's going to be all right. He says, search the treasury, and you'll find. Sometimes in your life that God just shows up and has promised you something, and it will come to pass. And then he says, make sure when y'all start building, after he gets convicted, the king who ain't even one of God's children, who ain't saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, who ain't got no faith, he said, all right, Cyrus said y'all can build. Now, I'm going to let y'all build, but make sure you build on a strong foundation. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell y'all how to build. Oh, God, help me somebody. I'm getting excited my own self. He said, I ain't saved. I ain't never been to the temple. I don't know none of the songs y'all sing. But I'm going to show you the foundation upon which you need to build your faith upon. You've got to build it on a strong foundation. I believe that the foundation has been built. I'm talking specifically to 14 people. The foundation has been built solid, strong, and firm. It's now up to you all to build upon the foundation that has been built. And because that foundation has been built so strong, it can't crumble. It can't fall down. And it can't depart from which where it's come. Anytime you build a building, anytime you build a house, anytime, especially when we built this building, the first thing they did was do soil test. S-O-I-L. They did soil test to make sure that the ground was strong enough to handle a building of this capacity. And if you know anything about our store, when they did the soil test around here, there were bombs. This used to be the bombing range for Fort Jackson. And bombs went off. I ain't lying. They were digging the foundation here, and bombs went off. That's why we steal the bomb. We steal the bomb, baby. We steal the bomb, baby. Don't let nobody fool you. We steal the bomb, baby. And so it took us 6 months to get all the bombs off the land. And his name is Jesus. And his name is Jesus. Who needs the Comedy House when you got Brooklyn Northeast? Amen. Free tickets every Sunday. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. And so you have to have a soil test to make sure that the ground is strong enough to build anything on it. And again, in our case, they had to literally move bombs. I mean, the army engineers and everybody came on this property to make sure that all the bombs and all the fragments and make sure that it was safe for us to build. And every now and then, you don't have to go through a soil test. You might have to go through a soul test. That God has got to test your soul and test your fragments and test who you are to see if you're strong enough to handle what God is about to give you. And every now and then you've got to go through some mess, Frank. You've been through enough. But there's a reason why. Because there's no cliche. God knows you can handle it. He is never going to put more on you than he and you can handle together. And you have to also remember that before God messed with Job, the devil had to get God's permission. And you wonder sometimes why you're the one who got to keep going through and going through. You wonder, when is it going to ever end? It might not. But you're still here. I said, you're still here. I said, you're still here. And you're still making it. And somebody's going to want to know how you made it. And you can tell it was nothing but the Lord on my side. I did not know how I was going to make it. I don't know why I had to continue going through hell. But I know it's nobody but Jesus getting me through everything I've had to go through. But look what he's done for me now. Anybody a survivor? Anybody a survivor? I ain't talking about you've been through cancer, no matter. I'm just talking about a mental survivor. That you've been through some hell and high water. You got people mess with you all the time. But you can look back over your life and you can look in the treasure of your mirror and say, thank you, God, for all the tests you've taken me through. Thank you for all my blessings. And thank you for being by my side. Are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus our Lord. And third and finally, the Bible says that after they got the temple built, that Darius allowed them to bring back all the goods, all the gold, all the silver. See, every time the children of Israel conquered a city, they would take spoils of war. They didn't take the women and the children, but they would take gold and silver and stuff that they could use that was financially beneficial to them. And you know, every now and then, an individual would steal something, and they would almost die and be cursed to death because it all went into the church house. Anytime somebody won something, it all went to the church house. Anytime they were able to conquer a city or a people, all the goods, all the what we call booty, all that went into the church house. When you get that next scratch off, or a new contract, all that went to the church house. And so they had all this fine goods that was taken to Babylon, stored up in Babylon. Even though they were taken, even though they were really enslaved in Babylon, all their possessions were stored up and saved for them. And when they got to return back home, God gave them double for their trouble. That's all I got to tell you right now. God gave them double for their trouble. When Job lost everything, Job stayed faithful. I said when he lost everything, lost all of his children, lost all of his cattle, lost all of his sheep, lost all of his goats, everything that he had, he lost it all. He lost it all in chapter 1. But I think it's in chapter 40 or chapter 39 that he gets it all back because he remained faithful to what God asked him to do. When his friends told him to turn his back on God, and his friends told him that it was his fault for everything he lost, when his wife told him to just curse God and die, Job remained faithful. And God gave him double for his trouble. And that's how God operates. Every now and then you think you're going through something that's unfair to you. And that God is messing with you. And that God is bothering you. And that life is unfair. But there is a plan and a purpose for whatever you're going through. As long as you keep your faith in God. I don't know why you're going through your second surgery on your knee. But everything is going to be all right. I don't know why you've got to have a hip replacement in a couple of months. But everything is going to be all right. Don't know why you're at your third school right now. But you're here for a reason and a divine person. And God is going to give you double for your trouble. I never remind you that in, I believe it was 2015, we would end the locker room watching the show. That show that lets you know what teams get into the tournament. We received a call that we would be one of the 64 teams in the tournament that year. We had t-shirts printed. We had a party scheduled to party with the alumni and fans of the school. Got a call that we were in the big dance. But then I got a call a few seconds later saying we made a mistake. We have called the wrong school. Can you imagine the looks and the feeling of depression and not knowing how to comfort one another? Knowing that you had the resume to get into the dance. But you were looked over. And so we left that room devastated. Wasn't no need for a party after that. And I'm sure those t-shirts are somewhere over in Africa somewhere by now. But then that next year, I said that next year, we didn't have to wait for all 64 teams to be called. As a matter of fact, our name was called on the seventh time. Our name came up so fast that we missed it. I said we missed it. Our name came up so fast that we were waiting to wait like we had to do before. But we were the seventh name called, and they sent us to Greenville. And we were kind of excited because they would think we would send us all the way out to Utah, the way they had played with us before. But they sent us up to Greenville. And we were excited because we knew that we wouldn't have to travel far, that we would have good fan base, and that others would be able to see us play in the Bilo Center. And so we were excited. We got to go play in Greenville. That first game would be against Marquette, and we knew that we could handle Marquette. But if we made it through Marquette, the biggest devil there was stood in our way. A big blue devil out of Durham, North Carolina. Can I get a witness? And you know I don't like devils, no color, red or blue. And you know how the story goes. We dealt with that devil. We beat that devil. We put that devil under our feet. And we moved on, Aaron, into the second round of the tournament. And we had to go on up to New York. And the beautiful thing about it is that we already had a winning record in New York. We had played some good teams already in New York. We were prepared to play in Madison Square Garden. We went on to beat Baylor. We went on to beat Florida. And we were on our way to the Final Four the year before. They told us we were in. But now that we're out, that next year we got in, we made it all the way to the Final Four. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. It may not look like something's going on, and it may look like you've been put down, and it may look like God has forgotten about you, but there's a plan and a purpose for your life. You might not get it on the first try every time, but anybody know that they that win on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up as wings as eagles. They shall walk and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. And you know God is good to you. He'll do it every time. Say yes!